I said this without any doubt. Is mic on? We are a strong family. As a remnant in this family is real powerful. Love God, living clean. That means a whole lot to God when you live a clean life. And so we have a lot to be thankful for this morning. And we're here to honor Him. Honor God for giving us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were two words spoken very clearly, very precisely to Mary. And I want you to wear it this year instead of just wearing Merry Christmas and just waiting on the 25th. There's a word that God spoke into my exercise room out there, and He spoke to me. And He said, I want you to wear this word about my son's birth, and I want it to be on you. Highly favored. Highly favored. So I want you to remember. I want you to remember. Remember, I'm going to pray. My oldest son going to preach this morning. I'm going to pray in a few moments. But I want you to wear the highly favored anointing. Not just on the 25th. Every day. And when things look like even sometimes when things look like not going right, we go through that. Make sure you go to highly favored. I'm highly favored. You said it yet? And you see, so a lot of times you hear things, you get all happy about it, but you don't do it. You gotta do it because there's a certain anointing that I believe coming on you this morning. You become, you gotta celebrate. You receive it? What? How many others? Who else receive it? Yeah, praise God, praise God. Be happy. I received a letter from a lady. Heard me preaching 21, I believe. Said she was broke. And she had married to two broke men. Married one broke man, got rid of him, got another broke man. And know nothing about tithing, nothing about giving. And she says she got free. And she out of debt. And the Lord told her, says, quit that job you want. She quit. Took a couple of years ago. And she still blessed on my death. Isn't that something? Let's lift our hand to God. Let's pray, and then we'll sing one or two more songs and celebrate, and then Junior will come and preach this morning. Father, we're so thankful for this year we're able to stand at the altar. You brought us all year long. Sometimes we saw some things that we knew it wasn't from you, but you blessed us through it anyway. We're thankful this morning for families all over the world, men and women all over the world that are assembled together. Our brothers and sisters are assembled together in your name. Let your anointing rest on them. Let a fresh anointing rest upon these obedient men and women of God here in Darrow and on the line. I see 1,000-something people online. Thank you so much for every person, every family, every child, every grandchild. Let them celebrate. Let them be happy. Let them enjoy one another. Sit down and fellowship with one another. We're thankful. We're so thankful, Lord, that as you kept us in until this present moment. Let us feel your love. Yes. Let us feel your touch, yes, this morning. Let us feel your love for one another, yes, with honor and respect. Thank you for this day. We celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the greatest gift any man or woman could receive, and any man could give. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, thank you for everything. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our God and our keeper. We love you right now. Heal everybody around this altar. All sickness and disease is driven out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're not longer tale monga de vista contale ski. But mama no lose, you're no longer in the cradle. You're Lord of Lords and you're King of Kings. We want you to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our lives. And we thank you so much. Praise your holy name. Now, Lord, anoint Leroy. He followed me all the days. of his life.
Yep.
In obedience, he's almost 50 now. He's a powerful man of God.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful to have him in my back.
Yes.
If I make a step, he's right behind me.
Yes.
A fresh anointing.
Yes.
Rest upon him. Revelation knowledge, but the anointing be upon him, his wife, his children, in a special way this morning, and that we all celebrate Jesus.
Yes.
Bless every person under the sound of my voice. Bless churches everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. Shake hands with about 9 people. Tell them Merry Christmas.
Praise God. You may be seated. I can't pray a better prayer than that. Won't be long this morning. Look beautiful this morning. Look good, look handsome. This morning, I want to take a few minutes. As I was sitting in my seat there, the Holy Spirit gave me a term, and I didn't know how I was going to use this term until I stepped up here. This morning, I'm endeavoring to get us off of, listen to what I'm saying, get us off of spiritual welfare. All right, so when I say spiritual welfare, obviously I'm making reference to our society and how we have welfare in our society. So let's think about welfare in our society. What's the purpose of welfare in our society? Our government provide. What's the purpose? Is to help those who can't help themselves. Right? And it could be the government given to those who don't want to help themselves. Other words, they're just lazy. Oh, I see now, yeah. You ain't never seen nobody sell food stamps. Some of y'all come from the hood, you know these people sell food stamps. Don't play me in here. You know what I'm talking about. So you figure them people don't need them food stamps. Come on now. So now let's equate this to spiritual welfare. All right, because spiritual welfare should not exist in the kingdom. Now, what I mean by spiritual welfare? Well, let's read a scripture. Go to 1 John, the 2nd chapter. And I'm going to let this scripture help me define what spiritual welfare is and why we're endeavoring to get off of it. You know, as we transition to this apostolic, the apostolic is to get us off of this spiritual welfare. I'm going to show you how we got on it, and I'm going to show you how we're going to get off of it. All right? It ain't going to take me long either, because when I begin to share this with you, things in your life that you're dealing with, things that you had doubts about, questions about, they're no longer going to exist. You're going to be able to, it's just not that you know you're more than a conqueror. You will be more than a conqueror. All right. 1 John, the 2nd chapter and the 27th verse. It says, but the anointing which ye have received of him, meaning Jesus, abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it had taught you, ye shall abide in him. That is where God designed us to be. Say that again. That is where God designed us to be. How I know that's where God designed us to be? Because he did it with Adam. He brought the animals to Adam to see what he would say. All right, go with me to Ephesians 4. 1 John 2:27 lets us know the anointing that abides within you. You don't have to have a man teach you everything. Now, why is it that a man shouldn't have to teach you everything? It's because God lives on the inside of you. Ephesians 4. I'm gonna put your gifts in here. Just hold on. I'm gonna put your gifts. I'm gonna preach about Christ. I'm gonna put your Merry Christmas in here. Just give me a minute. I'm gonna put it in here. Just give me a minute. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 13th verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Where does doctrine come from? Man, right? So there are going to be some times when you're going to hear information in this world system. It's going to sound good. It's going to look good. But you got to have the spiritual ineptness on the inside, the spiritual astuteness on the inside, to be able to look at it in his face and say, that's not of God. Even though they say it's of God. The anointed that body within you. You need a dope man teach you. Go on somewhere, all right? Watch this. Wind of doctrine, let me finish verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, grow up into him. All things which is the head, even Christ. The Apostle Paul keeps telling us, he said, I want you to be like Christ. I want you to get to the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right. So we see 1 John 2:27 said, there's an anointing that is embodied in you. Right?
Yes.
You don't have to have man teach you everything. See, some of y'all still on spiritual welfare. Hold on. Apostle is putting us in a position so that we can be like the men and women that gathered themselves around David in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. They were in debt, distress, and discontentment. But eventually, we see them in 1 Chronicles 28 on another whole level of life. So that means David couldn't hold their hands through all of their journey. That means they had to have ears to hear. And they had to be able to discern the times. And be able to let God tell them what they need to do so their energy can be joined with David's energy. That's called synergy. Yes. Synonymous energy. Yes. So therefore, more can be accomplished.
Yes.
Spiritual welfare was developed because of the pastoral model.
Wow.
Go back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Go back up to the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are you seeing this? We've been trying to do this with 3 of the gifts that Jesus gave us. And we left out the other 2. So the pastoral model is about shepherding. That's the design. But a shepherd without apostolic edge is going to put you on spiritual welfare to where you need him or her to lay hands on you to get healed. To where if you get into a financial situation, listen to me clearly now. Listen to me. When you get in a financial situation, you got to call the church for help. So the pastoral model has put us in that position. to where we have to have spiritual warfare. A situation come up in your life. You don't know what to do. Huh? Jehoshaphat said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but did he say his eyes was on the apostle? His eyes was on the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist? No, he said his eyes was on. Now, Jesus gave us these gifts. Now, here's where we're going to start talking about the gifts, because, you know, this morning we focus on gifts and giving gifts and receiving gifts. So here's where we're going to start talking about the gifts. We have used the fivefold gifts to allow, watch this, well, three of them to put us on spiritual warfare. So we have, listen at me, we have let me say it this way, the fivefold or the threefold, let me say that, the threefold have put us in a position to where we've been abusing the gifts. Come on. All right, that's okay. Didn't we establish earlier that there are some people on welfare abusing the government? Oh, this is a good illustration. That's a good analogy.
Yes, it is.
Well, the pastoral model of the church has positioned us to abuse the gifts. And see, but here, what a life, because we've been introduced to the apostle and to the prophet, we have access to all five.
Right.
So therefore, we should be coming off of spiritual welfare. And you should get, you may not be at that point right now, but you stay here long enough, you should get to a point where a situation come into your life and you're not running to call pastor, you're not running to call your favorite prayer party, you're not running to call anybody else. Your eyes are on God. And God, me and you gonna figure this out. Because I have an anointing that abides in me, I don't need no man to teach me anything. Now, Jesus gave us these fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the pastor, or the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, to mature us, make us grow up, so that we can do the work of the ministry. This is important, do the work of the ministry, so the body of Christ can be built, all right? So, there are gifts that we have been given that we've taken for granted. All right? God has given us gifts. I'm going to show them to you. God has given us gifts. Jesus has given us gifts. And the Holy Spirit has given us gifts.
Right.
All right? So we're going to go through all those gifts in a few minutes. All right? If you would, turn with me to Genesis, the second chapter. God gave us foundational gifts. You say, what are foundational gifts? God gave us foundational gifts. God has given us the gift of Zoe, or life, his kind of life. All right, in Genesis, the second chapter, in the seventh verse, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Who breathed into his nostrils?
God
breathed into his nostrils. Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing special about Adam. Nothing special about Adam. The only thing differentiates Adam from us is that he was the first.
That's right.
That's it. So the same breath.
Yes, sir.
So now, if that's the case, then anything that this world system, any trauma that I've gone through, whether it's in childhood, whether it's in adulthood, any trauma, any drama, any issues I've gone through in my life that begins to affect my soul, I have a right to overcome it because I have the breath of God on inside of me. Matter of fact, John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, the 13th verse says, I like the way the Message Bible said, it says, you are not sex begotten, you're not here because of the will of man, you're here because God wanted you here. So you're not even bound. The Message Bible said, I give you permission to go back to your original lineage. Your original lineage is not your parents. Your original lineage is God. He used your parents to get you here. So none of the drama that they have or may have influenced on your life, after a while, when you come to the knowledge of who you are, shouldn't hold you back from getting off of spiritual welfare. So the first gift that God gave us was the gift of life. All right. Or Zoe, the God kind of life. Satan tried to go into God and try to steal it from us. But God gave us a second foundational gift, which is the greatest gift ever given. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Now, I want you to know a common thread. God breathed in the nostrils of Adam. Now, I mind you now, there's no difference between you and Adam. Adam is not special in the way you think he's special. He was just the first man that God breathed life into. And you're made in the image of God. Isaiah 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase, verse 7, of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the second gift, see, I told you to get to your gifts. The second foundational gift that God gave us was Jesus.
Right.
Now, why Jesus is the greatest gift? Because Jesus redeemed us.
Yes.
Now, how can I explain this? Jesus is the greatest gift because Jesus can restore what was old and what was worn out to new. You ever had past shoes you liked or outfit you liked or let's use the automobile that you liked? When you bought it, it was new. But after a while, you know, dirt get on it, you got to wash it, the paint get dull. You might have caught a couple of dingers in it, you know, parked too close somebody at the store. They open their door and ding your car. Well, you can do whatever you want. You can take it to the body shop. You can take it, you can do whatever to try to get it back to its original form, but you will never get it back new.
Come on. That's right.
That's right.
When you go to sell it, you might have it looking like it's new, but that title don't say. That's not how Jesus operates. The title on your life may have been abused and used, but Jesus is the only one that can restore it, redeem it, and make it new. So people who see you after you met Christ shouldn't be able to tell about your past life. Two foundational gifts. Jesus gave us gifts. See, the Trinity is a gift-giving entity. God the Father gives gifts. God the Son gives gifts. And God the Holy Spirit gives gifts. So Jesus gave us functional gifts. We got foundational gifts, which is the gift of life, the God kind of life, and Jesus. What Jesus did, Jesus restored us back to the God kind of life. Because without Jesus, you're just existing.
Right.
You're just living. But when Jesus get involved, you now have the God kind of life. You have been redeemed and put back into your original position. All right? Jesus gave us transformational gifts. Galatians 3:13. Now I'm going somewhere because I want you to see something. Galatians 3:13. These are scriptures that most of us are familiar with, but I turn to them on purpose because you never know who's listening. It might be somebody new, don't know the Bible like we know it. So I take time to turn there so they can find it themselves or at least hear the scripture. Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, redeemed, put us back in a former position. All right, put us back in a place that we have either somebody else gave away or we walked away from.
Right.
All right, so remember I being made brand new. Jesus, when he died on the cross, and when you accepted him as your Savior, I want you to know that the breath of God was in you before you accepted Jesus. See, so what Jesus did, Jesus redeemed you, put you back in a form position. What position did he put you in? He put you in a position that Adam was in before he ate off the tree. Right? Listen to me carefully. Before Adam ate off the tree, who was he in communication with? All right, listen to me. Walk with me. He was in communication with God. Jesus put us back in a former position.
Yes.
So the five gifts, Ephesians 4:11, that Jesus gave us. Now, why Jesus had the right to give us those gifts? He had the right to give us those gifts because he paid the price. So he can structure the government how he wants.
Yes, sir.
But the government is getting you back to your original position.
Yes, sir.
That's why the Apostle John was able to write in 1 John 2:27, you have need and no man teach you anything.
Right.
Because he's trying to get you back to this original position. Are you seeing me?
Yes, sir.
Right? So the pastor, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher have taken us off of the original pathway. Because you can't get to the original place without all five. So when Jesus died, he put us back in our former position. Then he said, I'm going to give you gifts to put you on your path to maturity.
Yes.
Come on.
To put you on your path to 1 John 2:27.
Yeah.
To put you on your path to Ephesians 4:13-16.
Yes, sir.
To put you on a path to where you can hear God and communicate with God and do things for God without nobody having to tell you to do it.
Right. Right.
That's what Adam had.
Yeah.
The fivefold wasn't needed till Adam sinned.
Right.
So the purpose of the fivefold is to help us get back to. So the first gift that Jesus gave us was salvation, redemption.
Yes, sir.
To make us new again.
Yeah.
Old things. Behold, all things. That scripture just, the Apostle Paul was just saying that. The Apostle Paul saying, Jesus gave us the right to go back to our original position. It doesn't matter what family you was born in. It doesn't matter what you've done before you met Christ. None of that matters. What am I saying? I'm saying that you have a right to walk in all your spiritual fullness on day one of being born again. But the problem is, we have to learn. So that's the purpose of that's why Jesus gave us the five gifts. That's why he said he gave gifts unto men. So the five gifts can work together in honor and harmony to teach us and to lead us back to our original position. It never was designed to where you always have to look Listen at me. Listen at me. Listen at me. You don't always have to look to the pulpit for your answers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Adam didn't have no bull pulpit to look to.
No.
He had something better.
Yes.
But Jesus understood that through time, man had walked so far away from his original position. Jesus said, I'm going to give you gifts to help you find your original position. So that means at some point in your life, you should come to a point to where you are now lifting up the arms of Moses.
Yes.
Instead of hanging on the arms of Moses. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there was a battle that the Israelites was in. And as long as Moses had his hands up, the Israelites were winning. And so his hands would get tired because he had them up so long. So they had men around him that would hold his arms up so that they can keep winning the battle. I need you to be one of the ones to hold the arms up rather than hanging on the arms. Are you seeing this? See, this is, listen, 2025, I'm looking for you to perform miracles. Not receive miracles. So in order for you to perform miracles, that means you have been receiving and you know how they work. Jesus says, the work I do, greater works. You may be seated. The second transformational gift that Jesus gave us is righteousness. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. See, he redeemed us, put us back in our former position, then he put us in right standing. When he redeemed us, he put us back in right standing with God our Father. What it means to be in right standing with God our Father? That's what righteousness means, to be in right standing with God. What does it mean? It means that I can now be in direct line with God. That means I can hear what God is telling me to do. That means I can receive everything God has designed for me to have.
Yes.
Jesus is the intermediary.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is the intermediary. He the one is to go in between.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. Not the pulpit. See, let me tell you how I know some of y'all are still on spiritual breath, because when I say it, y'all keep looking at the apostle. That's how I know you keep looking at the apostle like, listen. Listen. There are times in my life when I was running into situations and the Lord would not let me go to apostle. Even as a physical, he wouldn't let me go to apostle. He said, stay here.
Right.
I'm going to teach you what to do.
Come on.
Stay here. I'm going to teach you what to do.
Yes.
Now, watch this. What was so significant about that? He had taught me how to hear from God.
Right.
See, the fivefold that was in him taught me to walk me back to my original position.
Yes.
So that means I ain't got to keep running back to him every time I got to get an answer.
Come on.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
Why? Because number one, I have foundational gifts.
Yes.
I got the God kind of life on the inside of me.
Yes.
Jesus redeemed me.
Yes.
Jesus put me back in a form position that Adam was in. So if Adam could talk to God and hear from God, and watch this, be given rights to have dominion over, Adam was given the rights to have dominion over every creeping thing, over all the earth.
Yes.
That means there was nothing that Adam could face that he could not conquer. That was before the fivefold.
Yes.
Now see, what some of us have an issue with is we have an issue with not understanding governmental ranks. And so we think if God used us mightily, that we can break rank. So to a certain degree, a lot of Christians are fearful of their own potential. The Bible says, no matter how great the Son could be, he could never be greater than the Father. Jesus said that. What Jesus was saying, Jesus said, I don't care how much y'all see me do down here. I don't care how many miracles you see me do. I am not able to do these things only because of the Father. That same rank operates in the kingdom of God. Do you know if you look the word up, evangelist, in the King James in the Strong Concordance, that word evangelist said those who herald the gospel who are not apostles. That's what it says. You go look at me in the Strong Concordance. It said those that heralded the gospel or carried the gospel who were not apostles. Now, why would they have to translate it like that, that they were not apostles? Because they must have looked like. On the outside, the kingdom, they must have looked like apostles. But on the inside of the kingdom, the evangelists understood that my grace derives from my connection to. That's the same thing with us. On the outside of this church, on the outside of this kingdom, people will say, look at them. They think they're Apostle Leroy. Look at them, look at the way they talk. Where they walk, where they think that. That's to you. What it looks like. But I understand that God has governmental order. So when God has governmental order, when I understand governmental rank, I ain't got to be afraid, nor does he have to be afraid how much God uses me. Because I understand that God using me is originated from God using him. So now when we had that understanding, now you can understand how the fivefold is there to push you back to your original place.
Right.
That's why 1 John 2:27 makes so much sense, because we apostolically, we understand governmental rank. Just because you don't need no man to teach you anything don't mean you break rank. See, I'm sure those men that gathered themselves around David in 1 Samuel 22, I'm almost positive that God was using them to do things.
Yes.
But God never used them to do things that was not in accordance to helping the agenda.
Yes.
You have a big part to play in this apostolic agenda.
Yes.
So you don't have time to be worried about, can you be an overcomer?
Right.
This is why it's important. I hope you just have the internet. This is why it's important that we be in church.
That's right.
Like we are, you know, when the apostle called. Because you never know what's going to be said.
That's right. That's right.
You never know what's going to happen. You never know what instruction is going to be released.
Right.
How many saying this?
Yes.
So 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let me get there real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In him. All right? We're in right standing with God. The third transformational gift that Jesus gave us was the Holy Spirit. Right? John 14:26. John 14:26. I got one more set of gifts and I'm almost finished. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Jesus said he's sending him because of me. In my name, he shall what? He shall do what? Teach you something. All things. And bring all things to your remembrance. Now see, the Holy Spirit spoke to me a while back. He said, you want me to help you read the Gospels better? I said, yes, sir. He said, to read the Gospels better, you got to realize that Jesus was an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and a teacher. Jesus was also human. He was also a son. Right? And so he said, when you read, ask me who Jesus was in that particular instance.
Come on. Wow. That's good.
Jesus here is talking as a savior.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Not only is he talking as a savior, but he's also talking as an apostle. Why? Because he's given instructions. He's given an agenda. He say, now, as a savior, I'm going to die and I'm going to provide the way for you to have a comforter when I leave. But when the comforter comes, he's going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance the things I have said to you. So he was really talking to the disciples in that moment and saying the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance what I've told you as an apostle.
Yes.
So you can walk out this life that I'm dying for you to have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit has been given to us to fulfill 1 John 2:27.
Yes.
How I know that? 1 John 2:20 says it. But ye have an unction.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And ye what?
Lord.
And ye know all things.
Yes.
See, you cannot be afraid to be who God designed you to be. Let me tell you something. Apostle is not afraid of you becoming who God designed you to be. Get out the pastoral model.
That's right.
The pastoral model is where the pastor got to stay big and everybody else stay small. We're not in that no more. We're not in that no more. I said, we're not in that no more. Everybody in here can be who God has called them to be. With no reservations. I expect you to be walking the streets. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. I expect you to, when you're carrying out your process of life, I expect you to have to deal with people and people bring you their problems and you say, hey, thus said the Lord. I'm expecting you to do that. That fact, that leads me to the Holy Spirit gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Turn there. We pray them. That's why you need to come to prayer. We pray these. Every time we pray, we pray in these.
Yes,
and Geraldine, what we say we're going to do? We're going to receive them
and release
them.
Yes.
That's not by accident. We receive these gifts. These, watch this. These are the functional gifts.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 12. Now watch this. I told y'all I was going to deal with your gifts this morning, didn't I?
Yeah.
You ought to have enough gifts, so many gifts, you ain't got to go home and open no gifts. I mean, you got the God kind of life, you got Christ, you got righteousness, you got salvation, you got redemption.
Yes.
1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration. They administer differently. They administer differently. Why would they be administered differently? Because you're different people.
Amen.
They're administered differently. Watch this. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7 is what I need you to see. Matter of fact, I need you to underline verse 7. I need you to underline verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit is given to circle every and circle man. That's talking about you. Given to every man for what? To profit with all. To profit in everything. The gifts from the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us function like Adam before he sinned.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was a word of knowledge that Adam was using to name the animals.
Yes, sir.
A word of knowledge is a fact about a present tense moment, right now moment, that you could know no otherwise and couldn't figure out no other way only but by God telling you.
Yes, sir.
That's what a word of knowledge is.
Yes, sir.
Adam operated in it. He wasn't no special person. Jesus died on the cross and redeemed me and put me back in that position. So why it ain't working in my life? It ain't working in your life because you have no expectation of it working in your life because the pastoral model has told you that it only operates in the pulpit. But it's given to every man to do what? Profit in everything. Let me finish reading so I can get through all. I'm not going to go through all. I give you definition on all the gifts. But you know what? It doesn't matter if I give you definition of the gift because you can study them for yourself. You can study the gifts for yourself. Every one of y'all in here drive a car, whether it's electric or gas driven. Everybody drive a car, but everybody know how to work on it. You don't know how it functions, but you still use it, don't you? Same way with the gifts. You know what I'm saying? Listen, one of the gifts, let me read. I'm gonna get through it. Let me read it. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith or special faith. Other words, the ability to walk out and do something that you wouldn't be able to do on your own in regular faith. Yes. Like, give you an example. Apostle leaving his job because God told him to with three babies in debt, no money. God tell you leave and you leave. That's special faith. That's why he every time he say that, he said, listen, don't you do this unless God told you to do this, because he know he was operating by the ability to do something that you don't have, that you wouldn't even have the fathom or mind to even wrap around to do it. That's supposed to happen in your life. It don't have to be the same scenario. It could be a different scenario. But you have the right to walk in special faith. Yes. Just extraordinary faith. I'm not talking about regular faith where you read the word of God, spend time with God, read the word of God, spend time with God, and then you get faith, and then you move out. No, I'm talking about God tell you to do something now, and you do it. Yes. That's supposed to happen in your life. Yes. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to.
Every.
Say it again, dividing to.
Every.
Are you every man?
Yes.
Are you every man?
Yes.
Are you every man?
Yes.
I am every man.
I am.
So that means that I have access to all these gifts. And you know what I mean? As the Spirit will? You know what that means? That don't mean that just when the Spirit come on, you got the Spirit always with you.
Right.
What that means is the Spirit is going to kick what gift in when you need it at that moment.
Yes.
So you have access to all nine gifts.
Yes.
The nine gifts. So all right. So we got, God gave us our foundational gifts, salvation and Jesus,
yeah.
Right? Jesus gave us our transformational gifts, which is salvation or redemption, righteousness. I'm in right standing with God. Ain't nothing I did in my past. Watch this. And there's nothing I can do in my future that can stop me from being in right standing with God. If I ask God to forgive me, God will throw it in the sea of forgiveness. Why I said that? Because they got some people that still work, that God is still, you still working out your salvation. And you might not do everything right. That doesn't mean you're eliminated from these gifts.
Yes.
It might mean you may be held back, but you still have access. But you got to embrace your righteousness.
Yes.
See, when it says to every man severally as he will, simply means that the Holy Spirit is going to be the one to determine what gift is needed at that time. So that means you have access to all the gifts. Matter of fact, one of the gifts that we don't use very often is speaking in tongues and interpretation. Every time I pray in the Spirit, I expect that gift to kick in. Some of y'all just praying. Every time I pray in other tongues, I expect interpretation. See, y'all thought it was just for public display. Ain't for no public display. It happens publicly, but suppose when you need to hear that interpretation, you're not in public.
Come on.
So it's not for entertainment. It may be entertaining at times. We be in church and the Spirit high, and somebody's praying in tongues, and then somebody interpreted. Oh, the Spirit's moving. Yes, he was moving, but I want that to happen at my house.
Yeah.
I'm glad to help here the church. I'm overjoyed. I'm elated, and I'm a full participant. But I want. But I, the Bible says I have a right for that to happen at my house.
Yes.
So in this 2025, I need you to embrace all these gifts.
Yes.
I need you to embrace the gift that God gave you, the foundational gifts, the gift of His kind of life. Embrace what Jesus did for you. You got Jesus put you back in a new position. That car illustration, I want you to remember that car illustration. Where you buy a new car, you keep it for a while, you may ding it up, you may even get it restored back to new. But like you think it's new, but it ain't new because the title still says it's old. But that ain't how God operates. That ain't how Jesus operates. When Jesus said He made something new,
yes.
Brand new. Then you have the transformational gifts, which is salvation or redemption. See, all this we have access to. But we have let the pastoral model dumb those gifts down. Dumb them down. Righteousness and the Holy Spirit. That's transformational gifts. In other words, those gifts are there to transform you. Then you have the functioning gifts, which causes you to go out and function, which is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discern the spirit. You walk up on a person, you're getting ready to deal with somebody, and the Holy Spirit starts scratching you, and you start seeing the person standing in front of you, but you see them differently. They face, sometimes face might get disfigured, but their face not really disfigured. That's you discerning that spirit that was in them that's getting ready to try to mess over you.
Wow.
I've had it happen to me. I'm getting ready, and I gotta have it. I have to constantly operate in the discerning of spirits because I handle business for the church and I'm dealing with all kind of people. So I need to make sure I want that gift working in me, Holy Spirit, that when I deal with somebody, they're not taking the church. We business here, they're not taking the church. So I need you to tell me, Holy Spirit, who this is.
Yes.
Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a fact about a future event.
Yes.
All you think about when you think about word of wisdom, think future. God telling me something about my future.
Yes, sir.
He warning you about somebody. He warning in a dream. He might give you a dream about a situation you're going into. He'll give you that's the word of wisdom.
Yeah.
Word of knowledge is about present.
Yes.
God giving you a fact about a present moment that you couldn't otherwise know.
Yeah.
These gifts are available to you. But because of the pastoral model and being on spiritual warfare, either we become too lazy to expect the gifts or we don't know we can use the gifts.
Come on.
But the five gifts that Jesus gave us is training us so that we can walk in all those gifts. You should be able to walk in the gift of prophecy. You should be able to walk in the gifts of healing. You should be able to work to the working of miracles.
Right.
That's entitled to you. And the gifts were given for every man to profit withal, to profit, watch this, in every situation. The other thing the pastoral model done is made us selfish. So you think the gifts were given to you to get you out of all your situations. But the gifts were given so that you can do the work of the ministry. So that others can see Christ in a way that they've never seen before. So that they can experience Christ and come to Christ. So you have a right, as I close, you have a right to walk in all these gifts. Don't you undercut yourself. Another moment. Apostle is pushing us and pushing us and pushing us. Go ahead and get pushed. Sometimes he's going to push you off the cliff. He's going to push you off the cliff. Now, I don't know if you're going to fly or you're going to walk on out, but you better do one of them. Because you're going to get pushed. No, let me say it. Yes, you're going to get pushed. You're going to get pushed off the cliff. Now, you're going to have to fly or walk on out. Pick your choice which one you're going to do. Because, first of all, God needs you to operate in all these gifts. Jesus needs you to operate in all these gifts. The Holy Spirit wants you to operate in all these gifts because He's been given to you. Apostle wants you to walk in all these gifts. That's why we're getting pushed. So 2025, I am expecting.
Yes.
I'm expecting you to walk in these gifts. I'm expecting you to have discernment of spirits. I'm expecting you to have a word of knowledge. I'm expecting you to have word of wisdom. I expect you to have the gifts of healing. I'm expecting you to have the work of the miracle. I expect you to have prophecy. I expect you to be able to pray in tongues and interpret what you're praying.
Yes.
I expect all of that from you all this year.
Yes.
Because the apostolic is taking us off of spiritual welfare. Thank you, sir.
10:23. We got 1,621 online and got a good congregation in here. It's a great day.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, it is one of the greatest days that ever happened in our lives. Right? You got your Bibles. We're going to go with 10:23. I want you to have service early so we can get back home. What we do, I spend the day with my family on all holidays. Been doing that for many years before all these children was born. I got two young men going after my two oldest nieces.
Granddaughters.
I want to check them out real close today. I have them at my table and I ask them questions and check them out. Don't just nobody just get in your family. I saw some of these turkeys come here and stole some of the best women that we have in the ministry. They wasn't real. They just wanted their girl. But next time you come get one of my girls out of my house, out of this church, I'm going to ask you some questions. I got to find out, because sometimes we're deceptive with that mess. They're not really real. I got over there. Somebody must be getting their Christmas gift today. Yeah, don't go with him. Look, open your Bible to Luke. Don't go with him. Don't go with him just because he look nice. Do you have a job? Do you know his prayer? Powerful teaching.
Yes.
Luke chapter 1. I'm not going to preach again. All right, I see you, Lord. Look in Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now that same favor is on you. All right. Now, when he said that to her, there's a verse that goes along with that verse that I want you to remember from this teaching and the revelation of this is the morning that we celebrate the Lord Jesus' birth. Said he told her he could find favor, right?
Yes.
With who?
God.
Do you know the dimension or the vastness of that type of favor? I've been wearing it for 50 years. It works by increment, but it's constantly, for lack of a better word, put your head of the pack. If you stay in it, I was able to tell a man about my birth in Christ. And y'all need to hurry now, right now. No, it ran. Tell a man about my birth in Christ. And I tell him I haven't spent in 57 years without at least spending 2 hours a day with the Lord. It's automatic. How you gonna go a whole day, 24 hours, don't spend 2 hours with the Lord? It's just I'm thankful for it. And I'm almost through. But I'm gonna give you two verses. I want you to have these two verses because the Lord, I'm gonna bring something to you later on from them. Go back to verse 30, Luke 1:30. Read that 30th verse. How many of y'all believe you got favor with God?
Yes,
you really believe it?
Yes,
I'm going to give you another verse to go with that verse that can, I didn't say will, change your life forever right here, right now, this morning.
Yes, sir.
I didn't feel nothing.
Yes.
In other words, I'm about to give you a verse pertaining to the birth of Jesus that is about to change your life, your trip here this morning. Let me emphasize how powerful this is going to be. It's almost Satan asking me, let me commit suicide first before you tell him this. You heard me, son? Satan almost wanted to say, raise his hand and said, don't tell him this. Let me commit suicide first. I ain't never heard anything like that. You ever heard anything like that? Satan won't be caught till he burst at the lamamba. Satan won't commit suicide because he know you about to step out of his grasp. He gonna keep grabbing, but he gonna know this morning you stepped out. And I hear Jesus saying, that's the way I want you to celebrate me. I want you just calling my name. I want you to walk in it. Look at verse 30 again. Shoot, I'm about to get something here. It's a promotion, boy. You got verse 30, right? And the angel said, don't tell me how long I can talk. Your Christmas done got too big, baby. I'm about to show you something. I like to eat at 12 too. So Leroy better go check that pot. No, I'm just saying. Back to verse 30 now, because when I read the next verse, it will almost create, as you follow the instruction, satanic suicide. Satan won't be able to, he gonna swing at you, but you're gonna be able to stand up and talk to him and say, you remember that voice? The apostle read them two verses? You want me to read them two verses, tell you? And it's all dealing with, I can't say Christmas because, you know, in the Christmas, I say Merry Christmas stuff, but this is really not Christmas. Oh, look how quiet y'all got. Y'all let you go get them little toys and stuff, and little gifts and stuff. I'm trying to get it where y'all can do that. You wake up Monday morning, July the 16th, and it's Christmas. I'm going shopping. I'm going to buy somebody a car. I bet y'all didn't know her or not. Y'all won't hear that voice. boils down to verse 37. Merry Christmas. For when you wear the favor of God, there's nothing impossible. And based on what Junior preached and based upon this morning, I'm releasing the favor. I'll use it like this. No, I better not use it like that. The favor of God is not on you just December the 25th. And since you're wearing the favor of God, nothing impossible. I mean to receive that. Well, say hallelujah three times. Nothing. See the two voices. Keep the two voices. You got it?
Yes, sir.